Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's football day right here on Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio. Join us for the next 90 minutes as we talk NCAA and NFL football with your hosts Thomas Duck and Mike Mastrolio. It's Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio. Now here's Tom and Mike.
Everybody, and happy Sunday. Welcome to week 5 of the NFL season here on Assignment Football on Blog Talk Radio, Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. We are very happy to have you with us this morning. I am flying solo today. Mike's not going to be with us. Apparently, he feels like family is more important than football. So, what's with that? That's all right. We've got a good show lined up for you anyway today. Of course, we're going to do our normal segments, our fantasy football hot or not. We're not going to do bold predictions today, though. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to go back and look at what our predictions look like. Basically, we're going to look at mine. I think this is why Mike's not actually here. He just did not want to come on here and talk about how he had Miami in the playoffs. And now they look like they aren't going to make that. Prediction come true for him. That's okay, though. We're also going to have our featured game of the week this week, which is New England at Dallas. We put this one on the schedule pretty early on. Mike's a New England fan. I'm a Dallas fan. When we talked about doing this one as our featured game of the week in week 5, I assumed, of course, that Tony Romo and Dez Bryant would be here. So I'm kind of glad I don't have to take Mike's garbage all day. But we will be joined by Tom Ryle of bloggingtheboys.com. He and I are going to sit here and break down how in the world the Cowboys are going to be able to compete today against the 3-0 New England Patriots, defending Super Bowl champions, without their star quarterback and their star wide receiver. However, they do get some reinforcements back, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. First, I want to remind you that we are brought to you in part by Matthew Govendo, financial consultant. For professional financial advice regarding retirement planning, investments, and life insurance, contact Matt Govendo and receive a complimentary planning analysis. Call Matt today at 315-671-1864. If you'd like to join our conversation here on the show, you can call us at area code 347-637-2812. Remember that Matt is there to hook you up and help you get ready for your financial future. The number again to call, Matt, 315-671-1864. So a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, a big slate of games this week. We've got the Thursday game that went on. Kind of an exciting game. Obviously, Andrew Luck didn't play in that one. Saw Matt Hasselbeck come out and play pretty well, especially considering the fact that he had been hospitalized earlier in the week. It happens from time to time, though. You get a guy who was in the hospital or, you know, feeling flu-like symptoms, stuff like that, getting fluids, and then they come out and they have a really good game. It's kind of weird that way, but he had a nice game. Threw a couple touchdown passes, got Andre Johnson involved for the first time in the Indy offense, really. He hasn't really done much of anything so far this year. So there's that. And then, of course, Frank Gore had a pretty nice game. So the Colts look pretty good. Obviously, the Texans don't look very good at all. They're 1-4 now. They don't know what's going on at quarterback. Nothing they try in there works. I think Mike was a little higher on the Texans earlier in the year than I was. But then again, you know, I mean, he thought Ryan Mallett was going to come in and be this Ryan Mallett that they thought they had back in New England. So there's that. And that just hasn't worked out so far. So this week, week 5, big slate of games, a couple really good games, really interesting matchups this week. But on the bye week this week, no Panthers, no Dolphins, no Vikings, no Jets. So if you're a fan of one of those four teams, you've got the weekend off. You don't have to worry about your team laying an egg this weekend. Panthers are 4-0. Dolphins are not good. The Vikings are kind of up and down, but I think they look like what I thought they were going to look like. And the Jets are really off to a great start and kind of surprising. Actually, Todd Bowles has them playing really, really well right now. So good week for the bye for these teams. Some of them can try to – the Dolphins, of course, can try to get their act back together. The Jets can just kind of rest and keep working on what they're working on. So good stuff there. So there's that. Kind of some interesting news, key injuries and stuff. But first, before we get to the key injuries, coming out of the Giants camp, really interesting, because I hadn't even heard this. They had put him on IR on Monday, but Daniel Fells has had five surgeries to stave off an MRSA, MRSA staph infection. And what's happening right now is his doctors are really fighting hard to avoid amputating his foot. So this is obviously a really situation for Mr. Fells personally. Obviously, you don't want to lose an appendage, any part of your body. That's, you know, kind of one of those things that you want to try to avoid. But also, I mean, for his football career in general, you know, it's one thing if you're JPP and you lose a couple fingers. It's another thing if you're a tight end or any kind of athlete and you lose a foot. So very serious situation coming out of New York. Like I said, I hadn't even heard that they put him on IR. He's not a really high-profile player. 32 years old, been in the league a while. A solid pro, good tight end, good blocker, catches a few passes here and there for touchdowns especially. But, yeah, that is a very serious situation, something to keep an eye on, especially if you're a Giants fan and fan of human of fan of humanity in general. Kind of root for Daniel Fells to hopefully be able to pull through this and keep his foot. It's kind of crazy. All right, kind of looking at some things, guys who are out today, already announced, obviously, Rashad Perriman for the Baltimore Ravens, still not going to play. Marshawn Lynch is out. Vernon Davis from the 49ers will not play today. DeSean Jackson still out with that hamstring injury. LeSean McCoy is out. He actually said that he may miss as many as three or four games, the next 3 or 4 weeks anyway, with his hamstring injury. Also out for the Bills, running back Carlos Williams. So there's that. Crockett Gilmore will not be available for the Ravens. Victor Cruz is out for the Giants. Obviously, Dez Bryant's not back yet for the Cowboys. Marquise Lee of the Jacksons is the Jacksonville Jaguars is not playing. On the defensive side, also for Washington, Jordan Reed's concussion, he will not play today. On the defensive side of the ball, Washington will be without D'Angelo Hall. Kiko Alonso will not play for Philadelphia. Chris Culliver is out for Washington. Another one I missed, big one. Eric Ebron from the tight end for the Lions, he will not play today either. Some players you're looking at for early games, Alshon Jeffrey does not look like he's going to play. Julio Jones will probably end up playing. He's got a hamstring and a toe. Eddie Royal's questionable for the Bears. Fred Jackson looks like he might play for the Seahawks. Devontae Adams, I doubt he's playing. Steve Smith doesn't look like he's going to play. But Julius Thomas of the Jacksonville Jaguars may make his 2015 NFL debut, his Jacksonville Jaguars debut. Tight end, formerly with the Broncos, been out with a hand injury. He hurt his hand in preseason, had to have some surgery on it, but looks like he's ready to come back and make his debut today. So that's a big deal. Julius Thomas, one of the better tight ends in football last couple of years with Peyton Manning. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does with Jacksonville. Peyton has a thing, you know, obviously if you follow Peyton or if you follow football closely at all, you know that Peyton kind of makes tight ends look sometimes a little better than they are. But Julius Thomas is interesting because he's one of those former basketball player type tight ends. And, you know, I think Blake Bortles is a good enough quarterback where you can, you know, and their offense is, you know, they want to run the ball, but they want to pass. They're not like Seattle, like run. And, you know, just ask your tight end to block, because if that's what you're going to do, you're not going to get the production that, you know, the value out of a guy like Jimmy Graham or Julius Thomas in that kind of offense. You want to be able to go down the field, get some underneath stuff. That's where Julius is going to be good. He's a good red zone target. So that could be a big upgrade for them. This week, Julius Thomas coming back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Also in the news, let's see, before we go any much further, we are looking at the Dolphins. Here's the interesting thing. With the Saints struggling, I mean, obviously they got a big win against Dallas the other night, overtime win at home on Sunday Night Football. It was very inspiring, all that good stuff. But it looks like, obviously, Sean Payton in the last year of his contract, he has two years remaining on his contract after the season. But it looks like some teams are already starting to make some noise about going after him. And one of those teams in particular is the Miami Dolphins, obviously in need of a head coach after firing their head coach last week, Joe Philbin. Obviously, what happened was they heard Mike and I talking about it on the air during the game over in London between the Jets and the Dolphins, and Mike and I were just wondering, I mean, how do you not fire Joe Philbin? And, of course, the next day they fire him, so obviously they took our advice. I don't know if it was advice. I don't think I was advising them to necessarily fire Joe Philbin, but it seemed like it just wasn't working. So they made the change already, but they're going to be in the market for a new head coach, and it looks like they may try to go after Sean Payton. Obviously, the Saints are going to have something to say about that, but you never know. These kind of things happen from time to time, and especially if the Saints have a really poor year this year. I mean, they're 1-3 right now. If they ended up going something like, I mean, they don't look very good, folks. I'm sorry. Even though they won the other night against Dallas, Dallas is pretty depleted. They don't look very good. 5-11. If they go 5-11, 4-12, I don't know if they're going to bring Sean Payton back next year. It might be maybe just time to make a change. Not only Sean Payton, Drew Brees, there'll be a lot of question marks because you got to face the fact that the team's in pretty bad financial trouble as far as the salary cap goes. I mean, they're financially sound as a business, but you know, you've only got so much cap room, and they've kind of not been really smart with the way they've used it in the past few years, and they've gotten themselves really into a bad salary cap situation, and which is why Jimmy Graham's not there anymore, which is, you know, why they are unable to really improve themselves through free agency, which, you know, obviously it's not the greatest idea anyway, but they did a lot of that. They signed a lot of guys to big money contracts, and some of those guys are not there anymore. So now they've got all this dead money that they're paying out, or not even necessarily paying, but it's counting against their salary cap, and they're unable to really make any kind of real change. So if they continue down this road this year and end up with a really poor season, it wouldn't be out of the question to see major changes in the Big Easy next year, most notably head coach, coaching staff, and quarterback, because I don't know how interested Sean Payton would be in rebuilding with another quarterback. I think he's kind of tied, as far as the Saints job goes, he's kind of tied in with Drew Brees, and I think if it was a question where Brees was going to leave, I think Payton would leave as well. And in that instance, now you're looking at teams, like I said, like the Dolphins, but also possibly the Colts. And like I said, the Colts have won 3 in a row. They kind of got they got off to a bad start, 0-2. They still haven't looked great. I mean, they looked better on Thursday night, but that was with their backup quarterback. So they've been lucky enough to have 3 division games, one that they probably should have lost in Tennessee, but were able to pull off the comeback. Jacksonville was another close one. This was a close one as well. And they've got some tougher teams on their schedule. Next week they get to play New England. I think New England's going to be slightly motivated to kind of put their face in the dirt after all the stuff that went down from Deflategate with the Colts kind of turning them in, telling the NFL on them, as it were, blowing the whistle, whatever you want to say. So Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to be definitely motivated next week, but we'll talk more about that one on next Sunday's show. But they've got a tough schedule coming up, the Colts, and it's possible, I don't know. I still think they make the playoffs just because I don't think the other 3 teams in the division are very good. I think if I had to say right now that one of those teams was going to make the playoffs, was going to win that division, it wasn't going to be the Colts, I'd say the Jaguars, and the Jaguars just aren't very good, so I don't know how that's going to happen either. So it's a pretty interesting thing. So going into today's action, we still have a bunch of unbeatens. We have one team that has yet to win. That's Detroit. They are facing Arizona today, so that does not look like a good situation for them. I don't really give them much of a chance to beat the Cardinals, but the Cardinals lost last week against St. Louis. St. Louis, I think, is a better team than the Lions, but I'm not 100% on that. We got a bunch of undefeateds, though. Carolina and Atlanta in the NFC South, which I predicted to be the worst division in football. They are both 4-0. The Green Bay Packers are 4-0. That's not unexpected. Denver's 4-0. I think that's probably in line with what people thought. The Patriots are 3-0, coming off their bye, looking to go 4-0 against Dallas today. And then Cincinnati Bengals are also 4-0. So that's pretty interesting. The Bengals, I thought they were going to take a step back this year. They have, in fact, taken a step forward. The Bengals look really, really good. But we'll get into more of what the predictions are, of their preseason predictions were, and how that looks a little bit later. As of right now, we are going to take a break. When we come back, I'll get into some fantasy football stuff with you. If you want to call in, it's 347-637-2812 to join me and right here on Assignment Football. And we'll be back right after the break and with more fantasy, hot or not.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Hey, football fans, looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
Trick Daddy and the Slip and Slide All-Stars. The song I opened up with today in the first segment, that was fully completely by the Tragically Hip Band out of Canada, Kingston, Ontario, to be exact. If you grew up where I grew up near the Canadian border, that the Tragically Hip was a big part of your life. They are a fantastic rock and roll band. If you like rock and roll, hard rock particularly, go out there and, well, not, it's not like heavy or anything like that. Just, you know, kind of Pearl Jammy kind of band. Tragically Hip is very good stuff. Very, very good stuff. A lot of great songs. So there's that. All right, we're going to get into our Fantasy Hot or Not segment. Normally this is where Mike and I will go back and forth on who we like and who we don't like. But first, I'm going to break down for you how I did in fantasy football last week. My fantasy draft.com, which if you want to sign up for a daily fantasy site, and you don't, you know, I mean, DraftKings, FanDuel, obviously, they've had some issues over the last week. Plus, there's just a million people on there, and it's hard to get into a contest where you're going to win. There's just so many people playing. FantasyDraft.com is a lesser-known site where you can get a lot of good stuff. So if you want to sign up, go to FantasyDraft.com/play/assignmentfootball, and you can sign up through us. It's a referral program. You go on in there, you sign up, and they'll match your deposit up to $200, just like all the other sites will. They do all the same kind of things. It's auction style draft kind of thing. So you pick your lineup every week. You get each player is assigned a dollar value. You have a certain amount of dollars you can spend in that game. So you go for it. I mean, I did that the last couple of weeks. Haven't won yet. Placed pretty good, but we're working on it. I'm new to daily fantasy, so I'm still trying to work out the strategies and stuff like that. You know, you're trying to look for the one guy that nobody else sees coming, and you get him, and he has a big week, and so that's where you're at with daily fantasy, I guess. For me, I'm in 5 leagues this year, just in case you were unaware of that. So I'm a little bit of a fantasy football junkie as far as regular fantasy goes. In my 5 leagues, I've done very poorly. I have one league where I'm 0-4. I've not won more than one game in any week yet this year, except for this week. I actually went 3-2, had a pretty good week. Things are looking pretty good. In a couple of these leagues, I'm actually still in it, even though, in the one league, the Honda City League that we talk about most, I am 2-2, sitting in about third place or tied for third or something like that. There's a bunch of guys that are 3-1, 3 or 4 guys. I guess I'm fourth or fifth or whatever. But I'm right there. I'm a game out of first place. I love my team. I think it looks really, really good. I got Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, so that's a really good combination. Plus, I've got Eddie Lacy. Plus, I've got DeAndre Hopkins. Plus, I've got Dez Bryant coming back in a couple of weeks. And hopefully, you never know. Things are looking pretty good for my fantasy team called Run Fat Boy Run. What I like to do when I sign up for a fantasy football league, I put a name out there, and that's not the name I'm going to go with because I'm going to draft a player, and when I get that player, I'm going to use one of the players on my team to come up with my team name. That Run Fat Boy Run is for my Eddie Lacy pick on that one. So I got a bunch of team names like that. There's one that it's not tied to a guy who's on my team. It's a JPP reference. It's called Nine Finger Discount. That's fun. All right, so anyway, let's get into the hot or not segment. Right now, we're going to look at guys who I think are going to be pretty good this week, who I really like. One of those guys, running back C.J. Spiller for the New Orleans Saints. They're playing against Philadelphia. Obviously, here's my reasoning behind this. He had a really good game in the sense that he had that one really awesome touchdown reception in overtime against the Cowboys. But he also had some... He also was involved in the offense a little bit more than he has been. He's been injured for most of the year. He's, been dealing with some injuries, and now he's starting to come back. It looks like he's getting involved, and this is the thing. They're going up against the Philadelphia Eagles today. They're at Philadelphia, and obviously Chip Kelly has been put forth as the next football genius and all that stuff. And the thing of it is that used to be Sean Payton. Sean Payton was the offensive genius in this league. And Sean Payton's a competitive guy. He's a guy who, has a bit of an ego, as most of these guys do. These guys are the best at what they do. They're at the top of their professions. So he may want to kind of say, hey, look, you made some mistakes on running back. Maybe you should have gone after C.J. Spiller and kind of use C.J. Spiller in a way that he used to use Darren Sproles. So I think this could be a big one for Spiller. I think they're going to use him a lot out of the backfield, catching balls. I don't think he's going to run between the tackles a whole bunch, but he's going to use that. He's there to be the old Darren Sproles role in the New Orleans Saints offense. I think this could be a big day for him. Philadelphia hasn't been great defensively. They've been okay, but I think C.J. Spiller could have a really big fantasy day today, something in the range of 5 or 6 catches for 70 yards, maybe a touchdown, a couple more runs for maybe 20 yards. This could be, like I said, a big day for C.J. Spiller. Also, a guy I'm looking at that is a little bit further down the list. Well, actually, let me give you someone I don't like as a running back today. I don't like Jeremy Hill, and I don't like Thomas Rawls. Both those guys in the same game, Cincinnati hosting Seattle. Both of these defenses are very good, and I don't know which way to go on this. Thomas Rawls, I don't love him in general. I think he had that one good half a couple weeks ago, and people were all over him. And obviously with Marshawn Lynch out today, if you're in desperate need of a running back, certainly take a look at Thomas Rawls. But I don't know how well they're going to run the football against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense is very good, especially up front in the front four and front seven. They've been really good all year. I mean, they're 4-0 for a reason. They've played some good teams, and they've played them tough, and they've blown some people out, and there it is. So Thomas Rawls, like I said, if you're in desperate need, go ahead. But I would actually go more towards maybe C.J. Spiller. in that instance. Now, the other one I don't like in that game, Jeremy Hill, also same reason. Really good run defense in Seattle. They do well against the run all the time. They're a good defense overall. Even though they've lost some guys over the last few years, they just kind of keep plugging in and kind of moving along. Now, they're on the road, so they don't play as well on the road because they don't have the 12th man. They don't have that crowd noise that helps them out on defense at home. And, of course, I've said it a long time, Seattle's a lot different on the road than they are at home, but I still like their run defense on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals, although the Bengals have a good offensive line. I just don't love either one of those guys in that game. Another guy I really like, two tight ends I'm going to like. I do like Tyler Eifert in that game. I think he's going to do pretty well. I think they're going to need to go to him because I'm pretty sure that the corners are going to take care of A.J. Green and Mohamed Sanu. Marvin Jones didn't really do much last week. I like Tyler Eifert in this game. I think that the one place that the Seahawks are a little bit vulnerable is with tight ends who can really, you know, kind of pick them up and put them down, guys who are a little quicker of foot. And Tyler Eifert's that kind of guy. So that's a good one. And also Julius Thomas. I like Julius Thomas today against Tampa Bay. I think they're going to look to get him involved early. They want him to feel like part of the offense. They want to see what they've got in him. They see, you know, to use these plays that they've got for Julius Thomas that they haven't been able to use for the first 4 weeks of the year. I like Jacksonville in that game. I think it's going to be a competitive game, and I think Jacksonville will definitely try to use Julius Thomas early and often. Quarterback that I like today, oddly enough, Sam Bradford. I really do. I like Sam Bradford today. I think that the New Orleans defense is not great. I think they should be able to get things going today on offense. I expect this to be a fairly high-scoring game. Like I said, these two offensive geniuses kind of going at it, trying to one-up each other maybe. So there's that. I do like Sam Bradford, despite the fact that he struggled early this year. He's had a lot of problems. That offense has not gotten going. They've had some moments in games in week one, in week four, where they've looked pretty good. So hopefully in this one, Sam Bradford is able to get his feet under him, start getting the ball down the field a little more. Quarterback I do not like today is Matt Stafford against Arizona. Arizona's secondary is pretty beastly. They're very good. They've really done some awesome things this year. So I think that if you've got Matt Stafford, if you've got another viable option at quarterback, you may want to look that way. If you've got a guy like Tyrod Taylor or Blake Bortles sitting on your bench, maybe you want to put them in ahead of Stafford. A guy I really, really don't like today against Arizona. I think Arizona's defense has a chance to be very, very good. Of course, their offense looks good as well. Another guy I don't like from that game is wide receiver Calvin Johnson, kind of for the same reasons. I don't think Stafford's going to do well, and let's face it. I mean, I've got Calvin Johnson in the league. I wasn't one of those guys like, oh, I can get Megatron. I'm not buying Megatron this year. It's just where I was, you almost had to pick him there. So, I think Megatron is kind of on the decline. He didn't have a great year last year. He's having not a very good year this year. I mean, I think he can still get some red zone targets and end up being it, but the deep threat's not there. He's not getting open down the field. And against this Arizona team, this Arizona defense, I don't think it's going to be a very good day for Calvin Johnson. On the flip side of that, if you are in desperate need, and I mean desperate need of a wide receiver, Kamar Aiken from the Baltimore Ravens is pretty much all they've got now. Steve Smith doesn't look like he's going to play. Rashad Perriman is definitely out again. Crockett Gilmore will not be ready to go. They are in desperate need of pass catchers in Baltimore. So Kamar Aiken is out there. He's probably going to get a lot of targets today. He's probably going to be the only guy going. They're playing against Cleveland. Decent secondary, but not world beaters for sure. He's going to be matched up against Joe Hayden or somebody like that. So you want to take a good look at Kamar Aiken today. If you need a wide receiver just for 1 week, go out there and get him. All right, we got a caller on the line. I've got I know who this is. This is one of our sponsors, Matthew Givendo. What's going on, Matt?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing good. Kind of flying solo today. Mastrolio bailed on me.
That jerk.
What's up, buddy?
He's probably two stuff from the Ichiban hibachi table last night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you guys went out to dinner, did you?
I didn't go, but I see Sue's post, so got the inside.
Yes.
I got a question for you. I'm mulling over a decision on who to play. Unproductive running backs, and I've got John Stewart, who hasn't done anything, and Marshawn Lynch, you know, they're both on the bench. One's out, one's on a bye. Isaiah Crowell or Alfred Morris, both very unproductive people so far. Who would you go with?
Yeah, that's tough. I like Alfred Morris better, but Washington really is trying to get Matt Jones going, their rookie. They're giving him a lot of attention, although last week he didn't do very well. Isaiah Crowell against Baltimore, I mean, Crowell against Baltimore. Baltimore's defense isn't what it once was, especially without Terrell Suggs. Boy, that's a tough one. I kind of would say, like, if Baltimore's offense was better and I thought that they were going to run out and get a big lead, I would say go with Alfred Morris because Crowell won't get that much run. I guess I would go with Crowell just because I'm more confident that he's going to get the bulk of the carries in Cleveland than I am with Alfred Morris, because I really still think they're going to try to go to Matt Jones and get him involved and see what kind of game they can get out of him in Washington. And also, I think they're going to end up having to throw the ball a lot because they're playing Atlanta, and that's going to be bad for them. I think that Atlanta's going to win this game and win it pretty big. So I think that Washington is going to have to go away from the run pretty early in this one. So I would go with Isaiah Crowell, that's for sure.
And what about what are your thoughts on Roddy White? Do we leave him out of a lineup until he figures out what's going on? I know he was injured before, and now he's not happy because of his passes. But, I mean, as a pro, you should expect that, saying, hey, I've been out a few weeks. I haven't played him, but in the reps, these guys have already get comfortable with each other.
Right.
Just another one of those things, like, why don't you just shut up and play and, you know, do the best you can, I think.
Well, I think if you've got Roddy White at this point, if you've got Roddy White at this point, you've got to look at the writing on the wall and just kind of realize the targets are going to Julio Jones, and there's no reason to go away from him because he's just beasting out. He's just absolutely having a ridiculous season, and you're going to ride him as long as you can, and that means that Roddy White's not going to get a lot of targets. And even when they look the other way and they go away from Julio Jones, they're going to Hankerson. So to me, Matt, if you've got Roddy White on one of your fantasy teams, it's time to look at making a change, getting rid of Roddy White and going elsewhere. Now, that being said, this is my advice, and I just gave someone advice on Thursday morning to drop Andre Johnson because he's doing nothing. And then he had two touchdowns that night. So that's what my advice does. But if Roddy White is on your football team, you got to start looking at, it's like, okay, is there somebody else out there who's actually getting targeted, who's getting receptions, who's getting in the end zone? Because Roddy White's not. He just hasn't done really anything at all this year. He has not been very involved in the offense as far as catching passes.
Peyton Manning or Alex Smith?
Peyton Manning all day.
Got a Chicago defense, brother. Don't forget.
Yeah, you also got a quarterback who doesn't throw the ball more than 8 yards down the field. And that's where I mean, and here's the thing. Now, it could possibly be that Alex Smith has a good day, but only if he gets that ball to Jeremy Maclin downfield a little bit. Who is Denver playing this week, for the love of goodness?
Oakland.
Okay. See, I like Oakland's defense better than I like Chicago's defense, yes. Okay. But I don't know that I love their secondary. And I think that Peyton's got a lot more weapons, and even though his arm strength isn't what it used to be, he's still throwing the ball a ton. Whereas Alex Smith, if they get any kind of lead on Chicago at all, they will immediately stop throwing the football, especially stop throwing it down the field. They only throw it down the field when they absolutely have to. Alex Smith, to me, unless he starts running more, I wouldn't have him in a fantasy league anymore, to be honest with you. Because he doesn't run the ball enough. Like, he doesn't run as much as he used to, and he definitely does not throw the ball down the field. He doesn't score. He doesn't get a lot of touchdowns. And, what's his average stat line? 210 yards, one touchdown?
Right.
That's not going to get it done in a lot of fantasy leagues.
Nope. All right.
So I would – all right, man.
Go with Peyton, obviously.
Yeah, go with Peyton. That was definitely it. Peyton Manning, for sure. Yeah.
It's done. All right, man. Have a great day. Guys, if you need any financial services, do not hesitate to call me. 315-6. What is the number? 671-1864.
That's right.
I got cell phone numbers. I've got you name it. I got it. But here's this. I mean, you're not if you think pensions and 401ks are going to take you to the promised land, you might want to recheck and find out what you're doing and what you're going to hope out of retirement. So do yourself a favor. Give me a call. Complimentary, you know, advice, and we'll talk from there. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Enjoy having you on. All right, Matt Covendo, a bunch of good questions. He's in the same boat as a lot of people, I think. A lot of guys took Roddy White thinking, hey, Roddy's a solid guy. But look, here's the thing. These guys get older. So you got to be looking in other places. That's why I was on Allen Robinson early, who hasn't been huge, but I think he's still going to be good. I mean, Allen Hurns has come out and been a really good receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got to be looking for the next guy, too. I mean, certainly you want to take an established star, but you start looking at these guys who've been in the league for 10, 11, 12, 13 years. Yeah, they can probably still have good games here and there, but they're not going to be the fantasy stud that they once were. Just take a look at Larry Fitzgerald. He's had some good games. He's had some bad games. He's had some, as far as fantasy goes, and he's content because he's on a team that's winning football games. So why would he care? But you got to look at the younger guys like John Brown on that team, even though he hasn't had a huge year, but I'm trying to come up with somebody who's having a really nice – well, Allen Hurns, one of the guys I just said, you know, is having a really good year. So you got to look at these guys, you know, when you're drafting, and, you know, obviously this is what it is now. I mean, you're 5 weeks in. But when you're drafting next year, remember this. If a guy's been in the league for 12 or 13 years, you got to think about how many more years is he going to go? Certainly, like I said, you want to take an established star, but start looking for the young guys, especially with running backs, especially with running backs. People who were very high on DeMarco Murray this year, and I told them before the drafts, DeMarco Murray's not going to have the year he had last year. It's just not going to be good. And people were taking him in the first, second round. And, you know, it just has not been very good. If you took DeMarco Murray with your first pick, you're really probably regretting that right now. All right. Thanks very much for listening to that nonsense. And thanks to Matt Covendo for calling in once again. The number to call for Matt to get your free, your complimentary financial advice, 315-671-1864. We'll be back right after the commercial break right here on Assignment Football, and we'll talk about some things that have gone right and some things that have gone wrong with our NFL predictions for 2015.
Hey, football fans, looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com is your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team. Get player updates and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz. Hey, NFL fans, be sure to join Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, it's the NFL Standard. I can't miss for every NFL fan.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Presents Assignment Football with yours truly, Thomas Duck, and our regular co-host, Mike Mastrolio, who unfortunately is unable to be with us today. But that's okay. We've got our featured game of the week we're going to break down here in just a moment, the New England Patriots at the Dallas Cowboys. And to do that, we will be joined by a member of bloggingtheboys.com, one of their featured writers, one of the guys who was my inspiration to get into sports blogging, Mr. Tom Ryle. Tom Ryle, you're on the phone?
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm doing okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you pretty good, Tommy. How's you doing?
I'm doing fine. Nervous today, but I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I think I'm a little past nerves on this one. I don't know. I don't know if you noticed the song I just played coming back from the break. It's a song by Daft Punk called "Get Lucky," and I think that's kind of what the Cowboys have to do today to pull out a win. What are your thoughts, Tom?
Well, you know, first off, being a 63-year-old white guy, I was about what song? no, to me, I think there's one way the Cowboys can win this, and that's basically to smack Tom Brady around a lot and do it right from the very beginning of the game. You know, Gronkowski, Edelman, they're going to catch passes if Brady can get them out there. It's all got to start with Brady. I think Dallas can move the ball against the New England offense. I think Whedon, if he moves ahead this week the way he improved between the Atlanta and New Orleans games, you know, Cowboys are going to be fine as with him as a quarterback. And I think the games after the bye, things are looking up. Getting through this game is going to be obviously a heck of a challenge. As I said, it's all really going to come down to the pass rush versus the New England offensive line and Tom Brady. He gets the ball out in something like 1.91 seconds on average. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think you and I kind of both wrote similar stories on this week, because I agree with you 100%. One of my reasons, because I do my weekly column, it's 5 reasons why the Cowboys will win. And one of my reasons that they could win is moving Tom Brady off his spot, because that is the way to beat the Patriots, is to get in his face. You got to get pressure up the middle, which means Tyrone Crawford will be huge. But you've got to move him off his spot. And I think getting Greg Hardy back will be huge for that. And I agree with you, too, on Brandon Whedon. He is not the reason they've lost these last 2 weeks. He's actually been pretty good. Other people got to step up. And the offensive line, this awesome, great offensive line that Dallas has, they've got to do better run blocking for these backs, because they just got to open holes. Yeah. The holes are not there.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw something. There's some speculation that Doug Free is still not right, that he's suffering a little bit. You know, of course, Leary is still coming back a little bit from injury. I don't think the guys are completely healthy, and they certainly have not had a lot of time working together.
Yeah.
So it's really a bit of a problem, and if they can get themselves sorted out, the Cowboys are going to have to do something a little differently with their play selection. You know, it's basically, if you see Whedon up under center, it's going to be a run. If he's back in the shotgun, it's going to be a pass. You can't thrive that way.
Yeah, I think that's been their real problem in the second half, is they've been very predictable. I remember one series last week against the Saints, they came out just 3 straight runs and punt. I mean, that's just not going to get it done. I mean, the boxes are stacked against them. You know, they're blocking 7 guys with 6 guys on every play, and it's just, I think they've got to go a little more play action early in the series. You know, first or second down, just to back these guys off, and they can't just, you know, if it's a shock, like you said, if he's set up in the shotgun, it's a pass. If he's set up under center, it's a run. It becomes very predictable, and they cannot be predictable right now. If Tony Romo's there, fine.
Yeah.
But if Brandon Whedon cannot be predictable.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Whedon doesn't move around. You know, he can kind of lumber out of the way, but if it's a rapid pass rush, he's not going to maneuver the way Romo would when the pressure came. But yeah, it's gonna be how the defense can do. I'm also interested to see what's gonna happen with both Sean Lee and Rolando McClain. In at linebacker, because although Rod Marinelli doesn't like to blitz a lot, he's blitzed very effectively. You know, I mean, Sean Lee got his first ever sack in his career on a blitz earlier this season. I think you're going to see Lee and or McClain coming a few times, which could be very good for the linemen. Because all of a sudden, if you're having to pick them coming up, then maybe you can get Crawford free up the middle. You know, maybe that'll help Lawrence and Hardy get in for the edges. And this Irving kid apparently was looking very good. I shouldn't say kid. David Irving, the new guy they picked up at tackle, was looking very good last week. He was showing up, and he may be kind of a surprise factor for them.
Yeah, I like that kid a lot. I don't know a ton about him. He is still fairly new to the team, but he looked really good against New Orleans in spots. He was getting some pressure. DeMarcus Lawrence had his best game so far of his regular season career anyway. He looked really good against New Orleans as well. Of course, New Orleans' offensive line isn't great, but New England's isn't world beaters either, so hopefully they're able to get the pressure. I am so excited about McClain and Lee together. I think those two linebackers are both so versatile, and they can do so many different things that it really opens up a lot for what Rod Marinelli can do on the defense, because he can really rely on those two together on the field to do a lot of really good things for him. Go ahead and finish your thought.
I was just going to say, I've got a feeling that McClain is going to be looking for Gronkowski at some point. He's going to want to make a statement with him.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And the thing is, I like him better to guard Gronkowski only because he's a little more fluid than Lee is. He's a little more, I guess he's got better hip flexibility and stuff like that, even though Lee's a fantastic athlete and does so many good things. I just love the fluidity of McClain. He's a little more natural in the way that he moves. He's such a good linebacker, which is so frustrating that he was out for the first four games of the year for something so stupid.
Yeah, I actually think that Byron Jones will probably draw the main assignment on Gronkowski as far as coverage. I'm looking for Lee to come in to put a stop to the runs.
Yep, I think that's a really good. Speaking of the run game, what has Dallas got to do? I mean, obviously the line's got to block better, but what kind of – are we going to see more Christian Michael today? Are we going to – what are we going to do? I mean, how's that going to
– I think you're going to see most of the downs are going to go to Randall on first and second. McFadden's going to probably come in on passing downs, both for his blocking ability and also just to get him out there and try to get the ball to him a little bit. I was discussing on a radio program earlier today nobody's going to replace Dunbar. Dunbar had a unique role. They don't have anybody like that right now. It's just a matter of allocating his snaps out, and that's what I think McFadden's going to do. It's going to be interesting to see what McFadden can do if he gets a little bit of a chance, because he hasn't really contributed a lot, but he's also been coming in when the Cowboys were struggling to run the ball anyway.
Right.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of unanswered questions, and unless that stuff comes around, you know, it's going to be a tough game today, and then they're going to have the bye week to try and sort it out.
Yeah, and the bye week couldn't come at a better time. Hopefully after that they're going to get Dez back on offense, Randy Gregory on defense. I mean, they could be looking at a full complement of the defensive players, barring anything weird today, knock on wood, coming back off the bye week to go to New York. So speaking of Lance Dunbar, I don't know if people around the country, people who, you know, aren't Cowboys fans, realize how big a part of the offense he was becoming, especially with Brandon Weeden in there. But with his loss, I think you're absolutely right that they'll get McFadden in some of those spots where he can catch the ball out of the backfield. But do you think you see Lucky Whitehead a little bit more today on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, I don't know who they're going to see. Basically, they've got Whitehead and this Vince Mayo, I think is his name, are probably both going to be active and are literally going to be getting an on-field tryout against the defending Super Bowl champions. That should go well. but, you know, they're literally just throwing wide receivers out there in games to see what happens. The loss of Dez Bryant just gobsmacked the team, and then, you know, you lose Romo right behind it. If you'd lost one or the other, it's a different equation.
And, yeah, for sure.
The most exciting thing, is that Bryant looks like he's on track to be back to the New York game.
Yeah.
And I think that will help Whedon's game.
Oh, for sure. It's going to open up everything else for the other receivers, because once Bryant's back on the field, regardless of the fact that it's Whedon instead of Romo, you still have to respect his ability to break one at any moment. So I think for sure that's going to take pressure off Terrence Williams. He's not going to see as tight a coverage. And you're going to open up a lot of underneath stuff for Witten and Beasley and, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, that what about Gavin Escobar? How is it that they're just unable to get Gavin Escobar involved in the offense? I mean, is Whedon just not looking for him? I mean, the guy seems to be open a lot, actually, and he's just not getting the ball.
I don't have a good answer for that. It's kind of a mystery. It's not like Escobar seems to do badly when they throw the ball his way. And it's not like he doesn't seem to get open sometimes. It just seems to be – part of my theory is that with Whedon in there is that he may just simply never quite get to Escobar in his reads. You know, he makes two, three reads and then makes a decision, and that may be just where he is. That just may be kind of the point he's at right now in his game.
Right.
And he may never get a lot better. He's not going to be like Tony Romo, who can go through a five-read progression and then start over again sometimes.
Right.
And then that also depends a little bit on the pass blocking, because you even earlier this year, we saw some plays where Tony Romo just seemed to just stand there. Run through, look at his watch, run through again. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And the thing is, they've given that kind of protection to Whedon, too. I think maybe it's a possibility that he has to become comfortable with the fact that he has time to look, make his reads, go through his progression, see who's open. And I think also, to a point, like if he's starting on the right-hand side of the field, making his reads, and Escobar or whoever it is on the left-hand side, he doesn't ever really get there. Whereas Romo can kind of see what's going on the right-hand side and kind of feel what's going on the left-hand side, it feels like sometimes, which just goes to show. I think if you ever wondered how good a quarterback Tony Romo really is, I think this right now is showing you how good he is.
Yeah. I think it speaks maybe to Whedon's a little bit more mechanical in his progressions, whereas Romo can improvise and he can go like, oh, nothing like that real fast and go like, oh, that ain't no good. Let's go over here and look.
He's more of a gut guy.
Yeah, but still he makes the reads very well. It's so quick, it's just more of a glance with him, where Whedon, I think, still has to run through the mental checklist. Having said that, before it sounds like we're beating on Whedon too much, I want to emphasize one thing. Whedon right now is probably in the top half of all starting quarterbacks. If you look at what's going on, if you look at the numbers he's put up, if you look at what he's doing, is that a statement about where quarterbacks are in the NFL right now?
I think it says a lot. I think it also says a lot to the amount of time he's getting from the offensive line. He's third. I think he's third in completion percentage. No, he might lead the league in completion percentage right now. I think he's completing.
I was going to say there's one stat that he leads the league in.
I think it's completion percentage.
Yeah, and I think he's like third in yards per attempt or something. Yeah, he's up there.
Yeah, so that's
great right now.
Right. So when you say, oh, he's first in completion percentage because he's just he's just throwing it underneath, that's not the case. He's third in yards per attempt at 9.6. He's throwing it almost 10 yards down the field per attempt. That's a really high number.
And that's all off of the New Orleans game.
Right,
he was not getting a lot of yards per attempt in the first game. He bumped that up a lot last week. That's why I said it's going to be interesting to see the progression, although I'm actually not going to see it because Dish Network and my local CBS provider had a falling out.
Oh, no.
Sorry. I just had to vent that to somebody else. I'm going to be listening on the radio today.
Well, good for you getting to hear Brad Sham. That's awesome.
I wish Brad Sham could do some games on the TV. That's true.
Yeah. The thing is, I like Babe, too. I think Babe's a really good color guy over there, too. Luckily for me, I have DirecTV, so Sunday Ticket. Go get it. Good stuff. But anyway, so there's that. So we're going to move on. We're going to go to our pick segment now. This is our pick six segment. Tom's going to sit in for us and do our guest spot. Mike's I'm picking Mike. Mike is excited. I mean, Tom's excited about this for sure. He loves picking games. So we're going to pick our six games of the week. Obviously, the last one we'll pick is this New England versus Dallas game. But we're going to start with maybe the most intriguing game of the day, and that is the Seattle Seahawks at the 4-0 Cincinnati Bengals, Paul Brown Stadium, Cincinnati, Ohio. If you've never been there, it's a fantastic stadium. I went and watched the Cowboys. I was at that game, the game after the Josh Brent, Jerry Brown incident. I was there that next day. The last-second kick by Dan Bailey came right at me. I was in the end zone. It was great. But a great place to watch a game. Fantastic. If you ever get a chance to go to Cincinnati, do it. Seattle at Cincinnati. Tom, what are your thoughts on this game?
I'm going to go with Cincinnati because it seems like Dalton may be for real. He's given every indication that he's kind of got it all together as a quarterback. Seattle's been a little irregular. They're having their struggles. Things aren't going quite as smoothly for them as everyone thought they would. And it's an away game for Seattle. That seems to be giving a little bit of trouble this year. So I think Cincinnati's really happening, so I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I've said this before, and I've said it a million times, and I've said it 100 times on this show, I'm sure, that Seattle is obviously very different on the road than they are at home. They don't have that 12th man advantage that they get for their defense when they're in the Pacific Northwest. I love Cincinnati right now. I think they're playing some of the best football in the game. They've got a good offense. They've got a good defense. They're able to get it done on both sides of the ball. Their special teams are pretty good. I like Cincinnati to win this one, and I actually think they're going to be fairly comfortable in this game. And I'm going to go ahead and give Mike Cincinnati as well. Cleveland at Baltimore.
Cleveland's involved, so I'm picking the other team.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, Cleveland's kind of hard to get a read on. You know, they've got a little mini quarterback controversy. But they're still Cleveland. I think they're still a season or two away from getting anything put together, but you know, I just may be being too overly negative. I just think the Ravens are at home are gonna win that game.
All right, and I think I agree with you a lot of your points on Cleveland. I think a lot of their problems is the front office and their front office getting in the way. They just can't seem to get a draft together. But that being said, Baltimore's pretty depleted. No Terrell Suggs, obviously, for the rest of the year. Their defense hasn't been great. They don't have Breshad Perriman, their rookie. Doesn't look like they're going to have Steve Smith today. No Crockett Gilmore. Their running game got going a little bit last week, but hasn't been great overall. I am actually going to pick I'm going to go ahead and pick Baltimore, but Mike's going to pick Cleveland on the road. Mike, you get Cleveland on the road. So there you go. All right, so our next game is the 3-1 Arizona Cardinals at the 0-4 Detroit Lions. Any way the Lions win this one, Tom?
Well, yeah, there's a way. I mean, it is a home game. But, you know, come on. You have to go with Arizona in this one. Arizona is really kicking some butt this year, and Detroit is mainly playing the role of the butt. So
yeah. For real. Bad loss in Seattle last Monday. I think that was obviously it was a blown call. I don't really get on the ref that much about that one because I probably didn't know the rule either. I definitely did not know the rule. I don't think anybody on the field knew that was a rule. But at the end of the day, that's a really bad way to lose. Should have had the ball on the half-yard line with less than 2 minutes to go, trying to punch it in. But that being said, they're just not very good. They're not very good on offense. They can't seem to get Calvin Johnson involved. They're not very good on defense. They just seem to give up yards after yard after yard. So I am going to go with Arizona, and so will Mike. We'll give Mike Arizona as well on the road. I think Arizona might be the best team in football overall. They did lose last week to St. Louis, but, man, they do so many things so very well.
Yeah,
really
good. And you mentioned one thing just came up. You mentioned Calvin Johnson. Is this finally, has he finally gotten past his peak now? And somebody was saying he's turned into kind of just a good possession receiver.
Yeah, and I was kind of on that earlier before the season started. I kind of started to see that last year. I mean, he's a bigger guy. He's going to slow down, and, you know, if he slows down, it's easier to cover him. I mean, you can still try to throw it up to him, but it gets tough. If you can cover him with a safety, which I think you can now, you know, it gets a lot easier.
Yeah.
Okay, San Francisco at New York tonight at MetLife Stadium. What do you think, Tom?
I hate to say it, but New York. York's playing some pretty good football now. You know, they largely kind of coached away their first couple of games. They were in a position to win both of the games they lost and really make some stupid mistakes, clock management stuff, to kind of turn those over to the other team. And I just think they're going to be in good shape at home against the San Francisco team that still kind of has some problems, although they seem to be doing a little better than a lot of people expected. But I just I think the Giants are going to be the team that Dallas is going to have to worry about as far as the NFC East.
Yeah, I agree with you that long term. I think that the Giants are definitely the team to give Dallas trouble in this division. I think that's what's so bad about Tony Romo and Dez Bryant being down. Is that, you know, otherwise I think they'd be walking away with this thing. But that being said, it just seems like a very Giant thing to do to lose this game, probably in horribly bad fashion. So I am going to go ahead and pick San Francisco, and Mike's coming with me on this one. Mike, you got San Francisco tonight at New York, so good luck. And Pittsburgh at San. If he wants to bail on me, that's fine. Pittsburgh at San Diego. We got the Steelers and Mike Vick going to the Chargers. What do you think?
I tend to go with the Chargers here just because Ben Roethlisberger is hurting. With him out, I just would prefer to see Philip Rivers as my quarterback, you know, than Mike Vick. And not to say that Vick's going to have a bad game, but I just I like San Diego is one of those teams that has a tendency to underperform at some point during the year, but they've got a pretty good talent base there, and I think this is just going to be the case here, especially playing at home. I think they'll win this one.
All right, yeah, and I don't disagree. I think a lot of times it comes down to who's got the better quarterback. I think Philip Rivers will be the better quarterback. I'm like you. I'm not in love with San Diego. I think they're good enough. You know, they probably will be in the wild card race later in the year, something like 8-8, 9-7. I don't see them winning 10 games, but I don't see them losing 10 games either. So I think they've got enough going on offense. Their defense is good enough. I'm going to pick San Diego as well. I'm going to say that Mike loves Le'Veon Bell, and one of his favorite coaches is Mike Tomlin, despite the fact that he is afraid to use his kicker, apparently. So Mike's going to pick Pittsburgh in this one on the road, win a big road game against San Diego on the West Coast. All right, and now, finally, our featured game of the week, New England at Dallas. Mr. Ryle, what's your pick?
Homer call. I will not pick against the Cowboys because, look, I think there is a wild chance that they will pull out something by basically laying Brady out on the turf about four or five times. As long as they can get to him with clean hits, can't go with anything dirty because, if you come even close to a late hit on Brady, they'll throw a flag on you. But they've got to get to him, and I think Hardy may have actually been trying to set up something a little bit with some of his weird comments. It's almost like he was baiting Brady, trying to get him angry to make a mistake. But I don't know. I do think that's the way the Cowboys can win this game is just by smacking Brady around a lot.
Okay. I like it. Mike is a Patriots fan. So he obviously will pick the Patriots in this game. He would pick because of all the reasons. maybe this week he would go Dallas. No, he'll take New England. Unfortunately, I'm kind of with you. I think the Cowboys can win this game. I just can't pick it. I wish I could pick it. But I got to do this all year, Tom. I got to run. So I am going to go with New England in this game. I'm going to hope that I'm wrong. I'm going to hope I get hung with the loss on this one. I think there are ways the Cowboys can win this game. I think a lot of things have to go right, though. And I think that New England, obviously, right now is the better team, personnel-wise on offense especially. But that being said, if they are able to get Tom Brady off his spot, if they're able to put him on his back a few times, if they're able to cover a little bit, not even a ton, just cover a little bit, create some three and outs, and maybe get some kind of home field advantage for once at AT&T Stadium, I think the Dallas Cowboys could win this game, but I am going to go ahead and pick New England. Just so you know, going into this week, the guests on this show are 15-9, so you got something to live up to there, Tom. Mike is currently 13-11, and I am an even 12-12 on the year, picking our pick six segment. So that does it for that. Mr. Ryle, I want to say thank you very much for coming on with us, spending part of your Sunday morning with us. I know you got to figure out where you're going to set the radio up and possibly get a cocktail ready, something like that. So good luck to you, sir.
It's going to be fun. It's always a pleasure. Just let me know whenever you need me to come on and talk with you.
Oh, it'll be. You will definitely be back on again. Hopefully, what I would like to do is maybe get you on the week before Thanksgiving. We'll talk about the possibility of Tony Romo coming back, something like that. But we'll set that up. I'll get with you on Twitter. Like I said to my wife, Tom Ryle is my Twitter BFF. He and I haven't talked as much lately, but it gets busy during football season. So I'll get back with you, Tom. Thanks so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always, to speak with you, sir.
All right, loved it. Have a good time.
All right. Don't forget to follow Tom on Twitter at TomRyleBTB. That stands for Blogging the Boys. You can read all of his stuff at bloggingtheboys.com. He is an absolutely prolific writer. Right now, he's also got about.dallascowboys.com that he does. I know that that's kind of winding down. I don't know how much longer he's going to be doing that one, but he's got some other things in the works. He writes for his local newspaper. Tom Ryle is a sports blog god to me. I think he's fantastic. Myself, you can follow me on Twitter as well. I am at Duckman4Real. That's Duckman, the number four, real. And then, of course, you can also read my stuff right here at Fantasy Sports Warehouse, fantasysportswarehouse.com, where I am the lead Dallas Cowboys writer. You can also read me on cover32.com/Cowboys, where I write a weekly column right now on how the five reasons the Cowboys will beat their upcoming opponent. This week, of course, it was the Patriots. You can also listen each week right here on FantasySportsWarehouseRadio.com. I'm sorry, Blog Talk Radio is the host site, but it's Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio right here on Assignment Football with our co-host Mike Mastrolio, who will be back next week. You can follow Mike on Twitter at Mastrolio123. And with that, we will say a hearty goodbye. Thanks again to our sponsors, Matt Govendo. You can give Matt a call at 315-671-1864 for all your financial advice. And also remind you that we are brought to you by FanUpNetwork.com. Go to FanUpNetwork.com today to sign up for the free FanUp Network app. Simply register at FanUpNetwork.com and follow the instructions for your platform, Android, iPhone, or Windows, and FanUp Network will help you dominate in all your leagues. Keep track of all your fantasy teams in one place, see real-time player news, and receive expert fantasy advice. Go to FanUpNetwork.com and sign up today and follow them on Twitter. Their handle is at FanUp Network. Thanks so much, everybody. Really enjoyed the show today. Hopefully everyone else enjoyed it too. It was great to have Tom on. Nice to talk to Matt once more. Hopefully we got you set up for your fantasy football this week. And with that, I'm going to leave you. Thanks once again for joining me. And I'm going to leave you with the song I started with. It's Fully Completely by The Tragically Hip. Have a great day. Enjoy your Sunday, everybody.